This is based off of my experience, and I'm entitled to how I feel based off a real experience. I'm saying this because this is how I strongly feel, 1,000,000,000%. Nobody's going to change how I feel, and I have a right to it as such. My physicians and specialists are fully aware, and friends are fully aware of how I feel, and nobody can sit there and say I don't have a right to feel the way I do. I've realized that it is virtually impossible to find a rental, a lease. I have been trying over the past year. I have been aggressively, actively trying over the past week. And I have come to conclusion that this is why those with Rocket Mortgage, loan officer said, your best bet is to get into a mortgage. You're more than well in the credit score range. Unfortunately, you went from being married to two incomes to one. So you're gonna need a co-signee. Once the house sells, in a situation, you can change the loan around, remove the co-signee, or you can wait a year and redo the loan, and there's other options. The problem is the people I've went to ask to co-sign, two individuals, are not willing to do it, and they don't want to do it, and it's not an argumentative topic, and it's not one to bring up. So I have that option that's not there. So I'm literally realizing that I have got to find a co-signer or I'm basically in limbo. I cannot find a rental. And this is why, is these companies, and I ran into it again and I said, you know what, I'm done. I realized what those are saying to loan officers, you're wasting your time with these rentals. Companies and people want three times the income of the rental. A typical rental is going anywhere between $2,200 minimal to $3,000 or $4,000. They expect you to make an income, your job, disability, whatever you're on, retired, three times that amount. Yes, three times that amount. That's not feasible in this day and age for anybody. Whether loan, if you're dealing with an oncology journey that hasn't ended, mine hasn't, okay, it makes it impossible. When everybody told me, that are not related and not friends, but these are professionals that you're wasting your time, valuable time, which my time is very valuable and life is short, on looking for rentals because it's gonna be the same situation over and over again. Some may want even more than three times. And this is why there's a problem in the United States and there's a lot of people that are becoming homeless. You don't have to be a drug addict, an alcoholic or whatever to be homeless. There's real situations people are becoming homeless, period. It's not a joke. But I'm going to say this. When I went through oncology, they realized that I had a tumor. And this wasn't just no big deal. It took 17 surgeons and a professor in the state of Ohio that ran a hospital and their assistant to the professor to realize, we got to get you oncology right away. There was no surgical options. The tumor was too big. It would have been fatal to do surgery. We got two options. We do all the treatments in fast track. We take 3.5 months of treatments and we do it in 3 weeks. Or we can put you on hospice. The time is limited, blood vessels get ready to rupture. The tumor was just expanding, it was causing problems with other organs, and this is the truth, so help me God. I chose treatments. I thought and here's the thing too, is I thought a lot, but I shouldn't have thought a lot. I should have sat down with somebody and thought logically before I made a decision. And all I can say is, this is going to anyone that's getting ready to walk into oncology world. And your condition is progressed before they even give you a diagnosis. You're gonna have two options, because there's probably not gonna be a surgical option, because it wasn't for me. It's probably not gonna be for you. This is by my experience. You have an option, is to rush in and do treatments right away. I mean, less than a week, if not days, like it was my situation. They're going to give you a couple of days, that's it, to sign the paperwork. Take it home or you sign it there. I sign it there. Or you go into hospice, meaning you die with dignity and respect. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to do unnecessary stress. You don't have any of that stuff. I'm realizing I made the wrong decision. And now I can say I've made the wrong decision because things have been so stressful, unnecessary stress. People causing problems, one particular individual that has caused more problems than I like to say, that has no respect, dignity, or decency for anybody sick, let alone me. I realized also that when your body goes against you, and in my situation, I kept working, even though I denied disability, I fought it, I kept working, and so I was cornered liability reasons for a teaching hospital doctor that you have to go on disability on choice, okay? Before we realized I was having secondary problems and the tumor was growing way too large and it was making me sick, I was given a work permit by judiciary federal level. My disability and result is death. It's permanent. It's not a joke. It never was. For anybody who thought it was a joke, I'm sorry you didn't take it serious. You're part of one of those people that didn't, which is why I would have chose hospice, not what I went through. You know, just to struggle and suffer worse later down the road. That's ridiculous. And nobody should have to suffer unnecessary. I think Canada just passed also a new part of death with dignity. And I applaud Canada for joining the ranks of many around the world as allowing people to die with dignity and not have to struggle and suffer, because it's not a way of life. You're just existing. I was told by a therapist, you're just existing, because you've got to have the support. I needed to realize I needed support all around the board before I made a decision to go through oncology treatments. I didn't think logically. I was just wanting to live. But I really needed to talk to someone before I made that decision and sign those papers. And anybody went to oncology, and you know what I'm talking about, when you have to sign those waivers, you need to sit down with somebody, you need to look at your future, and you need to really, really think about it hard before you sign it. If they give you a couple days and take those couple days and really sit down with hardcore people, and I'm not talking about anybody connected, related, friends, family, husband, wife, whatever, I'm talking about someone non-related, a therapist, clergy, you need to really talk to somebody or someone who has experience of what life is like and what your future is going to hold. Because if I had a crystal ball and could foresee what I've gone through, I wouldn't have chose oncology. I would have chose hospice a million times over. I wouldn't have had to deal with the struggle and go through things and suffer, and just nobody deserves that. And I didn't either. But I'm saying this by experience, is don't jump into things with oncology treatments until you really look hardcore facts of what your life's going to be like. When oncologist tells you that a tumor is going to grow back and it's going to be worse, they're not joking, it's true. They were true, they were accurate about mine. If they give you a gold standard of 5 years, it's because they know it's going to grow back and there's a chance it could be fatal. Most importantly, you could have secondary complications, blood vessel rupture, internal bleeding, and that can be fatal. It's just a complication tumor itself. You need to think about that before you go walking under chemo or radiation. Or if you're doing experimental, you know, well, fast track, you're going to do both, most likely. So you got to think about that before you make a decision. This is a conversation that I needed to have with myself before I signed anything. I would have chose hospice. I can't change and go back. I wish I could, but I can't. I'm dealing with what I am now. And I'm realizing it's getting to be worse than dealing with oncology treatments. And that's a lot, and a hell of a lot to say. You have to make sure you have support all around. When you leave treatment, you better hope and pray and make sure you have support all around. And if you're not certain of support, then you sit down with family law and you get everybody together and you sign it, notarize it, that you're going to help one another out, no matter what that means. Friends, family, spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, friends. This is not a joke. This is real. And people who have not been in oncology world and understand where I'm coming from, you don't respect what I'm saying. But you'll respect what I'm saying if you've been in a situation or if you're like me and you're in it now. Because it's a hell of a struggle. It's not okay. I wouldn't want to go through this. And I wouldn't have wished this on anybody either. Not my worst enemy, you know? That's why there's a lot of countries, and I looked into it a year ago, Death with Dignity, not realizing lately that Canada has approved different parts of Death with Dignity. And I know this from my oncology treatment this week that I had, that there's other options, you know? But none of my physicians blame me for how I feel. As they said, you have a right. But I do regret not sitting down. And if this podcast can help anyone who's getting ready to walk into the oncology world as a patient, and your tumor has advanced and it's large, and they tell you, listen, like they told me, I can't do surgery. They had a surgical plan and it went right down the drain. Once I went into oncology and sat down with the specialist, and as I got pulled into my unique case, I was told point blank, there is no surgical options. It would be fatal, we can't do it. This thing's too large. Your test is wrapped around it. All we can do is max treatments out in 3.5 months time and 3.5 weeks. It's called fast track. You may want to look it up for anybody who wants to challenge or not understand what I'm saying, period. But I don't think anybody wants to challenge and is going to challenge even what I'm saying. You need to really be serious and to really think before you sign any waivers for treatments. Nobody should be scared of death. What you need to be scared of is suffering unnecessary and a long-ass suffering. That's what you need to be scared of. Nobody needs to be scared of hospice. It's a way in the United States, in most states, and the only option you have. That doesn't mean you're not going to struggle or suffer with hospice, because I know three patients, it took a while to get a right pain management down to where they could finally be at peace and not at pain and suffer. It slows the body down, okay? They sleep a lot and you end up just sleeping. You don't wake up. You go to deep sleep. That's what the drugs do, but it doesn't happen right away. They did a lot of changing with the medications and that. But they weren't sleeping. They weren't getting the rest they needed. But once they did, they realized peace. But they struggled because their tumor and their treatment never went in remission like myself. It grew back and it got worse. I'm a realist person, I think logically. I'm not into emotional games anymore. It serves me no good and no well. You need to make sure you have the support all around before you decide to sign those waivers, folks. You need to make sure, if you have to, sit down with the family law attorney and get everybody on the same page, that you're going to have the help that you need so you can live peacefully and not struggle, because you're going to struggle and suffer when that tumor grows back, period. And you're going to be in a hell of a lot of pain. And even pain changes daily, so you're always going to have to change with your pain management and palliative care like I'm under, and things will always change. You add and keep adding and adding and adding, and you realize that, you know, it's not a hell of a life at all. Sometimes you realize it's true, you do just exist. You have your good days, don't get me wrong, but majority of days you just exist. The longer that the tumor has a chance to grow back and your body is, you know, fighting this thing and you're trying to do all these other things and situation, you know, and you'll realize and respect what I'm saying. But, you know, sometimes you wish God gave you a do-over, you know, because then you realize logically what you go through by what you're going through, and you think, boy, what I would have went through that. What I went, that option, what I would have, no. I used to sit there and question people that didn't choose oncology treatments, like, why would they just want to die? Why would they want to go direct to hospice? I don't think that anymore. I utmost respect people, anybody who makes the decision not to go through oncology treatments and to go directly into hospice care. Hospice care does not necessarily mean it's going to be short term. If you look at President Carter, hospice is long term. Do people come off of hospice? Sometimes, majority not. But you can go into long-term hospice, and nobody knows how long you're going to be in hospice. Let's face it, God decides when it's time for you to go back home to heaven. Nobody can decide that. No hospital or hospice doctor specialist can decide that for you. But I'm a fighter, but I'm realizing, man, you know, this was the route that I would not have chosen if I could foresee the future. And one in particular person that I married that wasn't a caregiver by any means, caused a lot of stress, wasn't supportive, and top priority, it disappointed me. In reality, it disappointed themselves. But if anyone, put the email down here, anybody ever wants to talk to me and you're getting ready to walk in oncology, or you're at that point now and you want to talk to me regarding my own experience. I'm saying my own personal experience because every patient has their own unique personal experience. When you don't realize remission, you have a tumor, things aren't working, you're not going to get a surgical route, they can't do it, and you have two options. You do this or you go to hospice. I could tell you on the flip side what it's like when you don't choose hospice, because I live in it and I haven't lived in it. I can't tell you what you go through choosing a hospice. And that's where you maybe want to contact someone who's actively in hospice, an oncology patient who didn't realize remission and they didn't choose treatment, they chose hospice. They would be more educated and to be able to tell you, but I can tell you what life's like when you struggle. And it's not easy. And to get in the beginning of this, you can forget people in situations like mine, where you're going into multiple incomes and a party of two to a party of one, and not by your choice, okay? Because you had no choice. I could tell you how hard it is. And in this day and age, in the United States, on zoning in the United States alone, they make it impossible for anybody to get into a rental. This is why I was told by mortgage over and over again, loan officer, your option is clear, it's to get into a mortgage. You just need to find a cosigner. So for anyone who is looking or contacting regarding rental, it's no longer an option for me. I realize it's not an option. I need a cosigner. I have to get into a mortgage. And that's the truth. I was supposed to have a roofing company come out Monday, but unnecessary stress brought by someone put me in a situation where unnecessary stress, and I have to recharge. I can't handle banging of a roof and that. I need to be present with my fur kids. So I had to reschedule it for a few days and that down the road without getting to personal matters. I just told them it's just the scheduling of things. I need to reschedule it. Luckily, the roofer, she totally understood. But that's where I'm at, and I think it's the need to be set. Because before I see something like that, I'm going to back it up with experience and personally what I've gone through, and it's been hell. I wouldn't wish on anybody, it's the truth. But this is why people choose hospice. I'm one of those people that question the people that didn't want to fight to live and chose hospice. And I'll be honest, maybe I was judgmental a little bit. Why won't they just fight? Why would they give up? Because they don't want to struggle. They don't want to just exist, okay? And maybe, too, they didn't jump like I did signing those legal disclosures and documents with the oncology team. Maybe they sat down, or maybe they had the support, and maybe they were confident that they would be okay, although physically not. But they wouldn't have to struggle any more than they would need to, because who would want to? I'll answer that for you. Nobody. No. So I have to continue pushing on the best I can, and realizing I have limitations, and right now I'm just having to recharge, remove all stress out of my life, recharge, refuel, and focus. But right now it's went and just rental properties are not feasible. They're ridiculous. So now I have to refocus into finding a cosignee. Once a house sells and things can change with the title, or as the title company said, can change with the title, we can change a loan, you remove cosignee. It's that easy. You have the collateral and stuff. But when it comes to disability and your condition progresses, you get to understand the next podcast next month that comes around when I have a judiciary hearing of how difficult it is to demand and tell a judge why you need to go back to work because you don't have a choice. And I bet I have the most absolutely heart to heart in my face probably come back from the judge, and I don't blame him or her, period. But I have valid reason why. You gamble your benefits, you gamble your disability, because sometimes you realize, like my situation, you have no goddamn choice, period. You do what you're gonna do, and I'm gonna do what I need to do for me and my fur kids. And if I have human kids, it'd be the same damn way.